Today we have a special treat in our studio here at WMUK. I have the Kalamazoo Press Collective here to share some music for the season. I'd like to welcome Bob Lewis, who's the horn player, trumpeter Dave Bernard, and trombonist Craig Freeman. I'll start with you, Bob. Welcome to WMUK.
Thank you so much for having us today,
It's Cara. Great to have you here. Tell us about the origin story of the Kalamazoo Brass Collective.
Oh, the KBC was a brainstorming session when Craig and I were in graduate school, and it hit us real hard that if we didn't get busy working on a plan, that we would be grinding out day jobs and not playing music. It's very competitive out there to go win an audition and to play music professionally, so we needed a vehicle, and so a brass trio became our vehicle.
Did you play together a lot when you were in school at Western?
We did. We played in orchestra. We played in Western Winds. We went to China together with Western Winds and actually roomed over there. Craig got a wicked spider bite from a spider we'd never seen before, and it swolled up big, and we thought he was going to die.
That kind of thing is a bonding experience.
Yeah, definitely a bonding. We were in culture shock, and everyone thought he was Kobe Bryant. Yeah, we're even holiday buddies. The holidays that we can't make it home for, the 4th of July and Thanksgiving, we've spent together.
How did Dave Bernard circle into the group?
Boy, that's a good question. We started working with Dave on a regular basis in a brass quintet, and we play a lot down at the First Presbyterian Church in downtown Kalamazoo. And Dave's just a solid player, and we played with him in pit orchestras. And we played with him in the quintet, and every time we played, he just sounded better.
Did you also go to Western, Dave?
I did. I got my bachelor's of music performance from Western Michigan University.
And do you have anything to add to the story of how the Kalamazoo Brass Collective came into your life or got started?
The KBC had been kind of storied in the Kalamazoo music scene before I became involved with them. I was at Western for a short time while the three of them were also there. I was getting my bachelor's degree. They were getting their graduate degree, but I knew of them, and they were performing and obviously great players at that time. They hired me for a Christmas gig at a greenhouse where we were just playing some carols and tunes, and that was the first time that I played with the trio. Either Ayako couldn't make it that, or she had moved out of town by that time. Ayako Nakamura, she was the third founding member, and I should say primary arranger for the Kalamazoo Brass Collective.
I'm presuming that brass players get a lot of work in the Christmas and holiday season, so you've already been performing quite a lot this month. So I'm really grateful you could stop by and play for WMUK listeners as well. What have you brought along with you to share with us today?
We've got several Christmas time selections, holiday pieces, and a few Renaissance pieces as well, just to split up the holiday selections. But we can start with Good King Wenceslas, one of our favorites.
All right. Here is the Kalamazoo Brass Collective. We'll hear Dave Bernard on trumpet, Bob Lewis on horn, and on trombone, Craig Freeman.
Thank you.
live in the Takeda studio here at WMUK. That's the Kalamazoo Brass Collective with a very clever arrangement of Good King Wenceslas, Dave Bernard on trumpet, Bob Lewis on horn, and Craig Freeman is the trombonist. And Craig and I, we go back a little ways with both music and now with radio, as you're an associate producer here at WMUK, bringing us stories about musical groups. And I suppose now you're in the hot seat.
It's weird being on the other side of things. I now see what I've been doing wrong all these years.
just don't turn it around on me because I don't want to be interviewed.
Okay.
So we were talking about how the Kalamazoo Brass Collective got together. Would you kind of go along with what Bob was saying about needing to keep the level of your playing up and also continuing the bonds of friendship there?
Very much so. There's no pressure like that of a gig to keep you motivated and practicing. And going from the transition from school to working a full-time job and trying to balance your playing schedules is very, very difficult. And we really had already been playing a lot, and we decided we might as well keep doing that. It was a natural choice. I think it was at first kind of for fun, really. I don't think we really set out with a goal like, okay, we're going to be performing ensemble. It started from a very natural place, and we all wanted to play music together and enjoyed each other's company. And I think that's why it's lasted so long. It started from a very true place.
What year are we talking about?
Talking about 2011?
Uh-huh.
Ooh, wow.
Over 6 years.
Over 6 years ago.
One thing to make mention of is you're three players instead of five, the typical brass quintet. Do you think that makes you a bit more flexible, able to slide into certain situations, like with church choirs and things like that?
Very much so. A quintet is the traditional group for a lot of brass. And I, as a bass trombonist, I really didn't get to play in too many quintets in my undergraduate. And I played in a quintet in my second year of graduate school. And that was my first experience doing that. It's usually traditional to have a tuba playing the lowest part. So a few quintets have really started to use bass trombone, most notably the American Brass Quintet. And it gives us gives the ensemble a lot more compact sound. And Bob was nice enough to include me and not hire a tuba player. and I think our smaller number, it makes us more versatile in terms of being a little bit more appealing to hire. We're not as expensive. That's always true. A big thing.
By the way, you can find Kalamazoo Brass Collective on Facebook if you're in need of brass music.
I also think that being a trio, we have to work twice as hard, and the horn is on your face a lot more. So it can be pretty taxing. And those first few months that we started practicing, it was kind of boot camp for my face. A lot of playing, and Ayako wrote some really demanding literature. So it was a bit of a workout, but it keeps us busy.
When we play as a quintet, we do some work in the First Presbyterian Church with Cindy Hunter. It's nice. Really, kind of Craig spoils us because he plays the trombone part some weeks and he plays the tuba part other weeks, and it's just based on availability. We've got a trombone player up in Grand Rapids named Nate, old friend. We love to play with him, but if he can't make it, and we can get our buddy Chance, who's a fine tuba player, Craig, he's like a switch hitter. We put him in a different position. So a lot of these pieces, he knows the tuba part and the trombone part, and no other player in the group has that kind of flexibility, and that's really speaks well for his, you know, ability to adapt in his musicianship.
Is that partly why you use the word collective, that you have kind of a stable of players?
This is the stable, exactly. And sometimes we're a quartet, and sometimes we're a quintet and larger. But it's the three of us. We're the core players.
Well, let's bring the subject back around to the holidays. Dave, I know you just started a family this year, and I was wondering what the holidays, if the holidays had gained any new significance for you.
This season is just so cozy to me. It brings friends and family together. You know, I always conjure up very idyllic images of, you know, a fire and decorations in the home and being together peacefully with friends and family. I did recently have a son about a year ago, Eli. He's just over a year old now, and logistics have changed since when I and my wife were on our own. More traveling, more people want to see him, I think, than want to see myself, but that's okay. But yeah, traditions and times change, but the season maintains the same emotions for me.
Well, I think this would be a lovely time to hear chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Here's the Kalamazoo Brass Collective. We have Dave Bernard on trumpet, Bob Lewis on horn, and Craig Freeman on trombone. It's a lovely original arrangement of the Christmas song played by the KBC, the Kalamazoo Brass Collective, here in our studio at WMUK, engineered by Martin Clem. The Kalamazoo Brass Collective are Dave Bernard on trumpet, horn player Bob Lewis, and trombonist Craig Freeman. Craig, I think now is a good time to reveal that the three of you share a kind of superpower. You're all in demand as pit orchestra musicians, and that's a specialty that has some challenges that you don't find elsewhere.
So are you ready for the untold stories of the pit?
Yeah,
as it
great.
Were it's something that I didn't have too much experience with until I graduated, and we're lucky enough to live in a town which is has a vibrant art scene and a very supportive musical theater scene as well. The Kalamazoo Civic is one of the oldest institutions in the country, as I understand it, for musical theater. And a lot of the high schools around here, we've got Farmer's Alley as well. There's the Barn Theater, a lot of places to play. And all of these theaters require live musicians, which is a real unique treat for someone who doesn't have any experience or hasn't seen a live show with live music before. It creates a unique challenge for a classically trained musician like I am to play in a commercial setting where things can change on a dime and at the drop of a hat. Depending upon what's going on stage, you may need to jump ahead to 20 measures ahead of where you are, or you may need to play extremely quieter or louder. There's a lot of on-the-fly changes that you have to make, and it's very exciting. And I, being in radio, another thing that I enjoy about playing in the pit is you don't see any of the action on stage unless you have a monitor. But usually we're tucked beneath the stage, and we can kind of form the story in our head and form our own idea of what's actually happening. It's kind of similar to radio in that you form your own picture in your own head. I love that part of it.
And I get to live that. Yeah.
Yeah. I live the story through my own head. But, yeah, it's a unique challenge, which I really enjoy. And, Dave has a lot more experience in this, and is probably one of the first call trumpet players, and has really taught me a lot about playing in a certain style. There's working in a smaller, compact group. Usually we'll just have one instrument per part, for example, one trombone, one trumpet, one horn. And, similar to this group, we operate as a unit and look to one player to kind of lead the way.
Dave?
Yeah, playing in a pit orchestra has become a bit of a niche for me, which I really enjoy. And as Craig said, it really is, it demands different aspects of performance than a classical concert or recital or something. You may get very incredibly specific stylistic requests from the composers or arrangers. One tune may be call for sugar pop, and then the next might be menacingly danger sound, or very strange but specific enough to give you exactly the feel that you need to play, which can be a challenge for a player who hasn't performed in that setting before and is used to playing in a specific classical style or even a jazz style too. It requires great flexibility that really can only be experienced on the job.
It's also pretty hard to hide you don't have a bigger section to hide in. You are the lone trumpeter in a pit orchestra almost always.
Yeah, it's incredibly exposed for every instrumentalist. There is no first trumpet section, or trumpet section. If we're lucky, we've got two or three trumpets in the pit. But because of space constraints, there's usually a maximum of 13, 14 musicians in the pit, for example, at the Kalamazoo Civic Theater. So it's very tight-knit, very close, very crammed in. I may be called to play three or four instruments, and the woodwind players more often, up to five or six, depending on what the book calls for. So it requires proficiency on multiple instruments and in styles that are just not experienced in any other setting. So it can be very exciting.
Do you feel it kind of crosses over to this project? You can bring skills from that into, the trio repertoire?
Absolutely. I think the more variety of styles you're proficient in, the more well-rounded of a musician you'll be. Being an atypical ensemble, which the brass trio is, it's I think it's finding a footing now, I would still call it atypical as a chamber ensemble. Requires some versatility, and unlike a brass quintet, it can have a very intimate sound and requires more demands on each instrumentalist than a brass quintet may. So for those reasons, I think there's an intense crossover between playing in a pit orchestra and a brass trio.
I'll just share a quick story from a pit orchestra experience. I had the pleasure, this would have been 11 years ago in 2006 in the Utah Shakespearean Festival out in Cedar City, Utah. And my mom and dad actually came out to Utah to hear the show. Hi, Mom. And the man, it was HMS Pinafore, and the man who played the Admiral, you know, I am the Admiral of the Sea, the ruler of the Queen's Navies, and these are my sisters and my cousins and my aunts. That guy was, his name was Fred, and he was the founder of the festival, and he signed the checks, and he was not a musician. And I have never seen a pit orchestra bend to an actor's or actress's tempo the way we did. And that was just something we came to expect, and it was the flexibility that you had to have. You had to look up at the conductor. And it was, I mean, these real exaggerated movements, and he would pause, and then he would go on, and that, you don't know in musical theater what's going to happen. There's so many different facets, the lights, the sets, the costume changes, and you may need to play fill-in music, and you may have to just bend the tempo to the man who pays the bills. And so that was always fun when we'd get to that part and his big introduction and just all eyes on the conductor. Just, we're going to do our best to stay with this guy. It was a real fun time.
I'm speaking with Bob Lewis, Dave Bernard, and Craig Freeman of the Kalamazoo Brass Collective. They're live here in our studio at WMUK, set up in our Takeda Performance Studio with Martin Clem. Speaking of different styles, I understand we're going to head into a couple of Renaissance pieces. Is that right, Bob?
That is correct. We've got a Suzzato piece and a Dupré piece. And what's wonderful about the Renaissance is it's polyphonic music, so it's several different soloistic voices. So all of us play our line as if we are the soloist, and it's very nice writing. Thank you.
once again, live in our studio at WMUK. That's the Kalamazoo Brass Collective featuring trumpeter Dave Bernard, trombonist Craig Freeman, and horn player Bob Lewis. They can be found on Facebook. They're a very versatile group that can adapt to playing in churches with choirs, playing outdoor events, playing in pit orchestras. And I've even seen you guys as sort of a party band in the basement bar of Tibbs, rocking out with bass and drums. It's so interesting all the directions you're taking.
You know, we've always used instruments have been educational vehicles. So growing up, taking piano lessons, being in the band, going to school for it, you always play what a teacher puts in front of you. But that's not music necessarily, and this is something I go over with my students. And around this time of year, all of them are working on their own Christmas song to perform for their families. And it's not anything that an educator gave them to learn. This is for them to play for their grandparents or for their aunt and uncle or for whoever. And that's so important. I love the blues. I love rock and roll. So, you know, who says a horn can't play rock and roll? There are people out there who may say that, but, you know, The Who and the rock opera Tommy would disagree with that statement, right? So, you know, really, we don't want to limit ourselves in any way to be able to play any kind of music where they need a horn. If they're using the 12 notes of Western harmony, I can fit in. I can do it.
Well, Bob, I hope we can jump back into music right now after that inspiring speech. What would you like to play now?
Well, this is an arrangement of Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy that Craig arranged. And it says on the part, Tchaikovsky arranged Freeman. You know, he arranged this, but he always refers to it as the Ellington. And there's a reason for that, and you'll hear why.
It's the Kalamazoo Brass Collective, live on WMUK in the Takeda studio. Wonderful. That is an original arrangement of the Sugar Plum Fairy tune from The Nutcracker by Tchaikovsky. That's by Craig Freeman. You completely ambushed me with the sudden rhythm changes and the noisemakers appearing out of nowhere. That was terrific.
Surprise.
You need to run, not walk, over to Hal Leonard and get them to publish that. That's a terrific arrangement.
Bob mentioned the Ellington reference because I'm just in awe and inspired by the Ellington Nutcracker. And I believe it's called the Sugar Rum Cherry is his his version of it. And we used to listen to this record at Christmas time. At least I did. I don't know.
And it's super re-listenable.
It's
so much going on.
So enjoyable. And I wanted to kind of put my own take on that melody. So I had some spare egg shakers and a clave lying around and two willing participants, and this is what materialized.
That's great. I'm with the talented Kalamazoo Brass Collective live in our studio at WMUK. Earlier, I asked Dave about his attitude toward this time of year, and I think I'll put Bob on the spot now.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. I always go home. You know, I've been blessed to have a Christmas Eve service, and I drive through the night all the way to St. Louis. I find a tractor trailer to cruise behind about going 75. They clear the deer. If it's weather, they're going the right speed, and I stick with them, and I get in the middle of the night, but, you know, I'm going home to spend it with my family.
That's about 6 hours, 7 hours?
It's six and a half when you do it right. And it's nice going there because you gain the hour. When you come back, you lose an hour because it's on Central Time, right? So, but yeah, I look forward to it. Just feasting with my family. When I was little, you know, I was so excited for the gifts and I wanted to open presents and then eat. But I don't know. I turned about maybe 15 or 16 and I was ready for the feast first. Now we get around to opening presents. I'm so full. I miss it. I sleep through it. They're waking me and my dad up. We just have a great time. My brother has two children, my niece Annabelle and my nephew Jack, and they're just wonderful to be around. My cousins have children as well, and it's always great to see everybody.
And any Christmas traditions for the Freeman family?
Oh, boy, how do I follow that? Christmas to me always just means guaranteed family time. And now I have two nieces and I don't have any children of my own. So, I just spoil them with love. So I always look forward to seeing my family.
Where do you go home to?
I go home to Cleveland, Ohio. And, I've got the benefit of having a loving mother, father, and my twin sister, who's also a music lover, and we always put on Charlie Brown Christmas, the Vince Guaraldi album, and do all the stereotypical Christmassy type things. But yeah, Christmas, it means family to me.
Well, Craig, how about introducing the next piece?
Sure. This is the prelude from the Christmas Oratorio by Camille Saint-Saëns.
Thank you. the Kalamazoo Brass Collective in our studio at WMUK, playing some music for the season live in the Takeda studio. Our engineer is Martin Clem. The members of the Brass Collective are Dave Bernard, Bob Lewis, and Craig Freeman. We just heard a lovely piece by Camille Saint-Saëns, unfamiliar to me. I'm charmed that he opens an oratorio with a folk-like tune in 6-8.
12-8.
12-8. That's just lovely. It seems very French somehow.
Yeah, there's all these playful gestures. And I think this setting is perfect to perform this kind of piece. I've heard the original work, and I'm kind of partial to ours. it's a lot tougher on the face. Dave and Bob do such an excellent job of bringing these beautiful lines out.
I do want to mention that the members of the Kalamazoo Brass Collective all have experience with private teaching. I know that's part of your resume, Dave, as well.
Yes, I'm right now the lead high brass instructor at Kalamazoo Kids in Tune, which is a after-school orchestral immersion program made possible in partnership with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, communities and schools, and Kalamazoo Public Schools.
I mentioned Facebook before. How else can people learn about the Kalamazoo Brass Collective?
The KBC is active on Facebook and Instagram at KZoo Brass Collective. That's our Instagram handle, and facebook.com/KZooBrassCollective. Our website is KZooBrassCollective.com. You can find us there. You can get in touch with us, be social with us, and interact.
I just wanted to mention that we will be playing at the Boatyard Brewing Company at the eve of the eve party from 5 to 6:30. Come down, get a flight of brew. They also have a very nice old-fashioned root beer on tap for those of you who don't prefer alcoholic drinks. And we're going to be playing a lot of the selections we play today and then some.
The eve of the eve, that's the 23rd, from 5 to 6:30 at the Boatyard Brewing Company. Well, it's been wonderful to spend this time with you all. Dave Bernard, Craig Freeman, and Bob Lewis. Thanks for joining me again here on WMUK, and thanks to our sound engineer, Martin Clem, here in the Takeda studio. Let's hear one more from the Kalamazoo Brass Collective. Thank you.
Thank you.